World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yep, America held hostage day 154, folks. That's where we are today. And, of course, yesterday's one of those days where you cut off your nose to spite your face. I'm going to do it again this morning, by the way. Listen, YouTube watchers, get off of YouTube. YouTube's owned by the communists, okay? And then they choose when we're allowed to be on there. And if I say a word they don't like, if I mention that word, that jab word, they give us a strike, and I can't afford any more strikes. So yesterday, it was just typical of the way the world works. I drove everybody off of YouTube to CoachDaveLive.com because that's where we are. Streams free every day, CoachDaveLive.com. And then you can join the huddle, actually, if you want to do there. And I did that yesterday, and then what happens? Then we had technical issues here at CoachDaveLive.com, and some of you couldn't get in. My email blew up. My text messages blew up. What's going on? I took Jared out to the woodshed and beat on him for about an hour and a half and sent him back in bloody, and he said it won't ever happen again. So we're getting ready to shut down YouTube, CoachDaveLive.com. Sorry if you had some problems yesterday. We fixed it so you can watch yesterday's show, which I thought they're all good. Yesterday was a really good one again, I thought. So it's up there now, available to watch it. And it really pumps me up and makes me feel good. And people say, you know, Coach, I go to work all day and I can't wait to get home at 4 o'clock. And I sit down and I watch the show. And it wasn't there, Coach. What's going on? It wasn't there. So get off of YouTube, CoachDaveLive.com. Come and join us there this morning. All right. So hey, bye, YouTube. See you. Wouldn't want to be you, however that goes. And, man, let me do a little bit of housekeeping. Mike Spaulding, you out there, Dr. Mike? I think he is. I got a hold of Mike Spaulding. I watched him yesterday. He had Doc Jen and Samuel on, did a really, really good show last night. And I realized I hadn't given as much attention to his Therefore conference. So, Mike, here's your big moment, brother. What's going on? Hey, folks, before Doc comes in here, I want you to know something. The Lord is putting together an army, okay? I got a phone call yesterday. Hang on, Mike. I'm sorry. I got a phone call yesterday from the young lady, Diane, who's organized the Toto event up in Canton next week. And she doesn't even live in Canton, but she's one of those, like, she's just like us. She's just out there, and she said, somebody's got to do something. So she went and organized this event in Canton, Ohio. It's going to have at least 200 people going to be there. I spoke to her yesterday. She's kind enough to give me 30 minutes to be able to speak, and it's a great opportunity for us to network, friends. These are the people we need to network with. And the thing that is important about the Go Ye Therefore conference that Mike Spaulding's having and some of the huddles that we have is, even though the information is really good, it's the networking. It's the connecting. It's the realizing that we're to assemble the body even more as we see that day approaching. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as that day approaches. And I said, assembling together doesn't mean that I got a hybrid next in, and I got a phone, I got another phone, and I got a hat. And I got all the parts here. That doesn't mean anything. It's trying to take all these parts and make order out of them. That's what assembling means. You got to put all these things together. Yes, I do take ivermectin, and yes, it works. You don't take it if you don't want to. That's all right. It works for me. I'll tell you a story about that. Put this stuff down. I got all the parts you could ever need. Dr. Mike Spaulding is one of the parts, and I watched his great show yesterday, and he had Doc Jen on, Samuel. It was really, really good, and I thought, doggone it. Mike, come on real quickly and tell us about Go Therefore Conference, why it's important, not just the – folks, listen, the Lord – Are you guys looking at me? The Lord's preparing some of you. He's preparing some of you more than you even understand. And some of you are going to have to go a little bit deeper in the challenge and step out of the boat and go do some things that are uncomfortable to you because the Lord hath need of you. Remember that donkey story I talked about? The Lord needs some of you. And you're going to have to get equipped and get engaged to make it happen. Mike, I'm going to shut up a minute. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, thank you so much for the invite this morning. And I, brother, I just happened to be up. So.
You mean you're not a daily watcher? Somebody flog him.
Well, Coach, let me say this. You already know this, but this is for folks that perhaps don't know me and don't know the story of my live show. You inspired me to start my live show 3 years ago. So you are the reason why I do a live show. You've been an encourager and inspiration to me, and I love you and Michelle deeply. So
thank you, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
So thank you for all that you do, Coach. So you and I share the same message, and that is simply this: people who think and teach others that they're serving God by attending a church service once a week are deceived, and they are deceiving other people. Serving God takes place every place, but in the church meeting. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Say that again. Say that real slow. Amen. We've got some slow learners here. Say that again, Mike.
I say it from my pulpit week after week after week after week. Serving God takes place every place but in the church building. We are here to worship God when we come together, to be edified and equipped as believers, but ministry is outside the building. We've got to get this through our head. So anyway,
amen.
HTS, thank you. HTS, remember that, HTS, hit the streets. hit the streets. And the thing that I love about Go Therefore, Coach, and again, you've been with us and part of it from the beginning, the first year, 5 years ago, you've watched it. God has shown favor. He has blessed, expanded. This footprint is growing. All of these speakers, Coach, have ministries.
Sherry Tenpenny's coming.
The church. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be with us. She'll be speaking Friday night. And hey, I'm just as excited about Ohio Brett being with us.
Oh, he's a phony. Don't be excited about him. He's a phony.
Here's what I like about Brett. Is he's going to teach people. There's a lot of folks out there, Coach, you know this personally, that want to start a ministry, maybe even just a weekend warrior kind of thing, but they don't know what to do, how to get. Guess what? Brett Bull is going to teach them how to do that, and he's going to teach them how to fund that so that they can become very active on the street. So every one of our speakers, Friday, July 23rd, Saturday the 24th, I'll conclude it Sunday morning the 25th with a message on here. Are you ready for this? The presence of God. Power from the presence of God. We've got to seek his face. We've got to experience the presence of God. And we are undefeated when we have that and go to the streets, Coach. That's the message of the conference.
Man, that's an all-star crew there, brother. You've done. And now, Doc, this is in person, right? No more hiding in our closets, right? This is in person.
This is in person, July 23rd through the 25th, Brookville, Ohio, which is just a little north of Dayton. Go therefore conference.com. You can register. Go there.
It's worth it. It's worth it, folks.
Well, Coach, it's $59. I mean, come on. $59. Are you serious? You spend more than that on pizza in a month's time. So $59. So can I go down the list of speakers real quick?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So David Paxton, Ohio Brett, Mark Sutherland.
Look, on our screen. Hang on, go back up and let's go right down the screen here, Doc. Sherry Tenpenny, are you kidding me? Dr. Michael Lake, Jamie Walden, Carl Gallops, Casper the Friendly Ghost McLeod, John Diamond, Randy Conway, the coach, Michael Boldia, Ohio Brett, Brandon Gallops, David Heavener, David Paxton, Doc Jen, Neil Peterson, George Carneal, Mark Sutherland, Tom Dunn. These folks all been on the show. Dr. Mike Spaulding. Brother, not only do you have a list of great speakers, it's going to be unbelievable fellowship. How many folks are you hoping for, Mike? If people come, how many new people will they get a chance to meet?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So we can seat 300. We have overflow for another 300.
All right. There you go. Come on. Get over here, folks. Get over here. What's the date of that, Mike? July 23 through 25.
Yep. July 23rd through the 25th. We're starting at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon. So grab your lunch and get there and we'll kick it off and we're going to go all evening. Saturday, Friday night, we've got a concert planned. Casper and his band will be playing. Saturday night, we are praying, anointing, healing, deliverance. It is. We're going to cast the demons out, Coach. Saturday, we're inviting people to come.
In fact, folks, we actually did that last year. You don't do that very. Yeah. Hey, look at me. Are y'all looking at me? See, that scares most people. I'm going to tell you this. The supernatural has left the church. The supernatural has left the church. We don't believe in the supernatural anymore. We don't believe in demons. We don't believe in casting out demons. We don't believe in laying on hands on the sick. We don't believe it. But they will at this conference.
Amen. Amen, brother. And there is live streaming, Coach. We are live streaming. So if folks can't make it, you can catch it live streaming. When you buy your ticket, live stream is an option.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, Doc, thanks, man. I said 5 minutes. I gave you 10. You owe me.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Just kidding, man. Just kidding. love you out there. Hey, Mike, how much weight you lost? You said that last night on Doc Jen. I couldn't believe. Folks, get a hold of Doc Jen, because Mike's been one of the, I don't want to say patients, but she's been advising Mike. Mike, how much weight have you lost listening to Doc Jen over the last, it's been a couple of years, Mike?
Yeah, a couple of years. So back in 2018.
You weighed what, Mike?
244 pounds.
And you weigh what today?
190.
That's 54 pounds. Mike, did you think you were carrying around 54 extra pounds?
No. Not until the story I told last night. I went to the tractor supply store and grabbed 50 pounds of bird seed. And I thought, are you serious? This is heavy.
No wonder your knees hurt. Huh? No wonder your back hurt. Yeah. And so Doc Jen literally walked you through all this, didn't she, Mike?
Yeah, we did.
Folks at work, man, get a hold of Doc Jen, man. She's the real deal.
Yeah, it's docjen.org.
Yep. 54 pounds.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, Penny Miller, how much have you lost out there? I got to brag on you, Penny. Come on, Penny. Thanks, Mike. How much you lost, Penny? Come on.
I'm down 40 pounds.
You are down 40 pounds. Are you kidding me? God bless you. And you're still after it, Penny? Still doing it? Hey, Penny, you're slaying all those demons, that demon of sugar and that demon of gluttony. You're slaying all those, Penny?
Amen. I sure am. I'm into the Word of God and just relying on Jesus, you know, to help me not be a glutton. And praise the Lord. I'm just working through it. And every day it's an easier battle.
It really is just getting control of that carnal nature, isn't it, Penny?
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. Well, as Doc Jen would say, you know, some of you are overeating because you overeat, and then your body, your metabolism's all screwed up and everything like that, and you can't figure out why you're always going and grabbing potato chips, and because one habit's feeding another habit, and there is a physiological reason for it.
Not be a glutton.
Well, it's sometimes it's easier than just saying not being a glutton. As you pull some of these foods out of your life, your ability to control it gets a little bit easier. I don't know why I'm on that, Penny. I was just thinking about today. I want you to know I'm proud of you. I loved you when you were heavy. We love you just as much when you're 40 pounds lighter. And you love yourself more, don't you, Penny?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And here's another thing. Brothers and sisters have come up and really lifted up my hands in this whole battle. I mean, Clay Parker, wow, he's always given me hints and tips on exercise and stuff. And then you've got Michelle, your wonderful wife, who's constantly sending me text messages of encouragement. You, just the whole team. I have, you know, the Salt and Light Brigade here in Marshfield, all like 9 people coming up alongside of me, just always encouraging me. And that really helps.
Amen, Penny. God bless you, man. What a group we have in here. Hey, Toto's Army this Sunday. Throw that up there real quick. I spoke yesterday to the organizer of this event in Canton. I spoke to her. And she's just a girl that's out there. Said, Lord, we got to do something, Lord. What can I do? What can we do? And she went out and she rented a building up in Canton, Ohio, a pizza place, 200 people. And she's just been praying, Lord, just please. And they got, I think she said, about 40 seats. Some of you watching right now, get your butt up there next Sunday. It goes from 1 o'clock until, I may be wrong, noon to 6, something like that. Well, it's on the screen. What is it? There it is, 1 to 6. And they invited me yesterday to speak. You don't have to come to hear me speak. That's not the point. But they're opening it up. Folks, we have got to partner with these folks. The 200 people who are coming to this event are our kind of people. That's why these conferences are important to me. I'm going to be there. Michelle's going to be there. There's a slew of us are going to be there. And I would suggest some of you get over there. You say, Coach, I don't have 50 bucks. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of me. I'll let Michelle buy you one. No, just kidding.
Coach, just kidding. I got a question on Therefore Conference.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Mike Spaulding.
Yes.
Can we register on your program for live stream?
Dr. Mike, are you listening out there on that one?
Yep.
How do
you got to go to the therefore conference.com. You got to register there and select live stream.
That answered, Joseph?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Man, what else? One more note. Mark Trump had a new grandbaby yesterday. I just gave a passing acknowledgement to it as he texted me. He had a new baby. God bless you, Mark. Train up a child out, and the way he goes when he gets old, he will not depart from it, right? Cool. Happy for you. We're working on triple headers in. In fact, Abby went to the doctor. Did she go yesterday, Michelle? Today? It's awesome, man. Awesome. Psalm 71. Said what? Yeah, Psalm 71. I was, this happens a lot. I get up about an hour and a half before Michelle. I spend some quiet time, do some meditation. Lord, what would you have me talk to these people about today? What would you have me talk about? Because I'm on rush coined a phrase, but I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. And if you didn't see yesterday's show, we now have it upstream and go watch it. Because we are trapped in the vain traditions of men. Most of us are following things in our churches. We don't have any idea why. If I could sit every one of you down individually and say, oh, you believe once saved, always saved? Uh-huh, yes, I do. Okay, why? Who told you that? And most of you would never be able to find a scripture. You would say, well, I heard Charles Stanley preach that one time. Oh, okay. Right? And so that's where most of us pick up our beliefs. And I'm not here trying to destroy your belief. That's certainly not my goal, not my purpose. But I sure would like to make sure that what you believe is true. Raise your hand if you'd like to know that what you believe is the truth. Come on, you can all raise your hand out there. Say, yeah, yeah. You want to believe lies? You want to believe the government's on your side? Go, well, okay, go ahead. You know, the same government wants to kill babies and inject you with vaccines. And they're telling you the truth. Sure, go ahead and believe that, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, you want to know the truth? Because the Bible says only the truth's going to make you free. Not set you free, make you free. So Michelle's sitting over there in her little rocking chair by the fireplace. You guys been to my house, you know what I'm talking about. And I said, honey, what's that? What? I need a verse this morning. I need a verse. And Michelle said, well, honey, I think she said, honey, she's kind of mad at me yesterday, but I think she said, honey, to me today. She said, well, honey, people need to get prepared. I said, what? She said, yeah. On my Thursday night call, that's what I'm going to talk about. We need to get prepared. People aren't prepared. My little wife said this. What? I said, man, dang, I'd love you even if you weren't so cute. Are you kidding me? She says, yeah, read Psalm 71. So, Joe, Silver, you there, Silver? I didn't give him fair warning. I don't even know if he's in here this morning. If he's not, I'll read it.
No, I'm here.
You're always there. So she said, read Psalm 71. So all of you out there, all however many of you are in here today, this comes from Michelle. This is the Holy Spirit leading Michelle to Psalm 71 and her admonition to you to get prepared. You got to get prepared. Wait. You guys got to get prepared. You are the ones who've been with the mark of Ezekiel. You're not in this show by accident. There's a lot of places. You explain to me why you get up in the morning and do this every day. Don't you lay there sometimes and say, oh, I think I'll just sleep in today, and then you can't? Doesn't that happen to you? Because there's a tugging. There's a call. There's a call on you. You said, I got to get in there. I'm going to miss something, right? I'm going to miss something. Because, listen, the Lord has a purpose for you. It's not just to come here and listen to the show and say what I think and what Larry thinks and what Silver thinks. That's not what it's about. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you through us, right? Through us, through this show. And if you're here, the Lord needs you. The Lord hath need of you. We're trying to train you and equip you and tear you down and break you down and build you back up because you've been standing on a lot of things that aren't true. We all have. And I tell you, every time you come here, I don't know the truth. I'm seeking it. Let's find it together. But you're going to have to be willing to lay down your sword against one another. Say, well, I believe this and I am not wavering. Okay. Okay. What if we show you something else that says something other than that, right? Oh, I could go on and on and on. I watched a video yesterday that would shake you to the, be good, coach. Be good. Okay, Joe. Psalm 71. And this is about preparation. Now, hey, folks, know this. Look, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Let me tell you something. God does have a wonderful plan for your life, and people are going to hate you. That's the wonderful plan he has for your life. Because, see, your pastor's been giving you half of the story. Come to church because God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, he had a wonderful plan for John the Baptist too, didn't he? He had a wonderful plan for all those guys in the Hebrews 11. Got their heads cut off and got sewn in half. And he had a wonderful plan. See, wonderful in the eyes of the Lord may not be the same as wonderful in your eyes, right? Wonderful doesn't necessarily mean good. It means wonder. Wow. And I said a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, talking about my life when I got sued by the ACLU. I got to tell you something. When I was going through it, I didn't think it was a wonderful plan. All right. I didn't think it was a wonderful plan because I had a plan going the other way. And then these guys step in and mess up my plan. I didn't realize that the Lord was orchestrating the messing up of my plan because he really did have a wonderful plan for my life. And I jokingly say at my funeral, there's going to be a line of people crying and a line of people peeing, right? Line of people crying that I'm dead and a lot of people peeing on me, glad that I am, right? Well, at least I know where I stood. That's where I knew where they stood. And that's part of that wonderful plan. So here's Psalm 71 from my wife, Michelle. This is the wonderful plan today. Go ahead, Joe.
Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Boy, what if that would just become real in your life? Just that verse. What if all confusion were to be lifted off of you? Wouldn't that make a difference? Huh? Because we know that the devil is the author of confusion, isn't he? And some of you are running in circles in your life because it's confusion. Confusion. You talk to this person, you talk to that person. Your niece says this, your cousin says this. You're waiting to hear from the Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress.
Time, I'm going to stop right there. How many of you can really say that? How many of you can really? Can you really say that? I think I can really say that. I really think I can. I'm not just reading the scripture here, Joe. I think I can say that. I think he is my rock and my fortress. I really believe that. Go ahead.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked.
Wait a minute, Joe. Does that mean the wicked got a hold of you? Does that mean the wicked are trying to get a hold of you? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Go ahead.
Out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man.
Wow, Michelle, thanks, honey.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth.
Well, hey, hadn't been from my youth, but it has been since I've been regenerated. Go ahead.
By thee have I been holding up from the womb.
Thank you, Lord.
Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee.
Yes, Lord.
I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge.
Wow.
Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age.
Hey, it's over. There's hope for us, brother. There's hope for us.
Forsake me not when my strength faileth.
Yeah, Lord, I got to get back. I got to get running again. Did I tell that you guys that story? I was out. Michelle and I were out walking on Dalles Arboretum's big park around here. We were going for about a 3-mile walk, and I'm walking up this hill, and here comes this old man. Now I'm 68, so this guy's an old man. He's running towards him. He's running. You know how old men run. You're not really running. You just kind of think you are, right? I mean, it's not a run.
Hobble.
And hobbling. And he comes towards me, and I stop him. I said, "Sir, how old are you? How old are you?" And he said, 73 years old. I said, "Sir, don't stop running. Don't stop running." That's the truth, isn't it? Don't stop running. Come on, go, Joe.
For mine enemies speak against me.
Oh, yeah.
And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together.
Somebody say amen. Give me a thumbs up on that one. If that's not true of you, then you're not walking in that wonderful plan the Lord has for your life. Go ahead.
Saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me.
Amen.
O my God, make haste for my help.
Boom! Right, Vinny.
Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt.
Get them! Sick them!
But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more.
Amen. They ain't knocking you out of me, Lord. They ain't knocking you out of me.
My mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day.
Yes, sir.
For I know not the numbers thereof.
How many more days you got, Silver? You know, anybody in here know how many days you got left? I don't know. I don't know the numbers. Go ahead.
I will go in the strength of the Lord God.
Amen. I will.
I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only.
Yep, and they're going to hate you when you do it.
O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works.
Yes, sir. Now I'm getting old, Joe.
Now also, when I am old and gray-headed.
Look at that, Joe. Hey, folks, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, look at Silver was a hippie in his younger days.
O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come.
Amen.
Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee?
Wow, who is like unto him? Wow.
Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again.
Yep.
And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
That's right, baby. We're just getting started, Joe.
Thou shalt increase my greatness.
Yes.
And comfort me on every side.
Thank you, Lord.
I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth,
wow.
O my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice.
Yes.
And I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed.
Yep.
My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they have confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt.
Daggone. Isn't that something? Huh? Lord's preparing some of you. Grab a hold of this. Thanks, Michelle, for Psalm 71. Grab a hold of it. You ain't seen nothing yet. What the Lord is going to do through you if you will totally commit to him. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you. We are in the age of signs and wonders and miracles, and he does those things through people. Be encouraged this morning. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, saints. Good to see all of you. I like the new setup. At the huddle. And I just want to say, Michelle, I love you. Thank you for your text and for the Bible verse this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen. Well, I love her too. She's something else. Yeah, that came right out of her mouth. Where she found Psalm 71, I don't know. I don't know. But she sure found it. Anybody got any comment? Come on in here real quickly. I got more stuff to get to. Let this, hey folks. Some of you, I heard that, Lord. Some of you are being positioned and poised for something you could never in your life imagine you were going to do. And I want you to know this. It's only going to happen through obedience. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But you are going to be placed in a position where you are going to declare the marvelous works of the Lord and the truth of the kingdom of God. And great things. Oh, I feel that. Thank you. Oh, I feel that. Some of you say, me? Yeah. Yeah, you. You. In your area of influence. And the people that you have impact with, influence with, you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to ridicule you. And then they're going to go get in their bed and they're going to lay their head on the pillow and the Holy Spirit's going to work on that seed that you planted in their heart. That's what it looks like, boys and girls.
Amen.
See, that's the miracle. You don't always see the budding of the flower. You don't always see it. You just walk out there in the morning and there it is. All of a sudden it's a flower. Say, well, where did that came from? Well, been a lot of work going on. Been a lot of sun shining on that thing. A lot of rain falling on top of that thing. And you didn't even notice what was going on. So I want to encourage you that the Lord is getting ready to use you in a way that you won't even understand. Wow, that's from the Lord. That's from the Lord. Ohio, Brett, you were up. Did you get out? You still in here? Then Silver.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. And you said it all right there, Coach, that when the starter gets hurt and you didn't really practice all week long and now you got to go play, trust and obey. And real quickly, I did felt the tug to go to Mar-a-Lago to Trump's club, but yeah. I accidentally plugged in the wrong thing. And I went to Mar-a-Lago, his house, and the unmarked police car and the machine gun officer, I don't think he smiled when he said, no, you can't share that video. Get back in the car.
You mean he didn't let you come and mow his grass? You mean
he did not. But I think I cracked a smile when I just said, hey, Jesus loves you.
Well, good, man. Brett's down in Florida. He didn't drive all the way down to Mar-a-Lago, but you keep after him because the Lord's going to open that door, brother. Lord's going to open that door, Brett.
Well, we're turning around right now, and some big doors are opening, and I'm excited to come alongside Paulie and Mike Heath. He's going to win that governor in Maine. So he gave me the gift of an opportunity to come alongside him as a fundraising campaign consultant. And Coach, look what happened. I just got to Florida, and one of the key contacts to meet, he's in Florida. So I'm driving over there to meet him at 6. God is good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're going to use your silver. Come on in, man.
Coach, you were talking about the call of God on our lives and the things that he's told us to do. And how do you deal with the opposition to that without creating a war? I mean, I know the things I'm called to do. And, you know, I mean, physically I have an issue with, you know, I mean, I have stuff I have to do, but physically I'm not able to as long as I'm in the show. And I want to be in the show, but I can't be in the show to do the other work. And it's just been a battle for me.
Well, I think my response to that would be, Joe, is you just keep yourself prepared to do whatever it is he would ask you to do, right? Some people want to go pound on the devil's door. Some people have to put gas in the car to get you there. Some people have to do tune-ups in the vehicle. Some people have to map it out for you. Some people have – there's all types of things. See, here's what I know, Silver. When the Lord taps you on the shoulder to speak, just be ready to speak. Just be ready to, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, be ready to be that donkey, to be that vessel. Just be ready. Because it's going to happen. Listen to me, folks. It's going to happen in a way that you can't even imagine. It is going to be so simple. What you are going to be faced with, and you're going to hear the Spirit of the Lord tell you what to do, and then you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Because I've shared with many of you, and I'll share it again right now. Listen, I'm just a football coach. I'm a Holy Spirit-filled man of God who coaches men. All right? And so it's very, very simple. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, friends, please, if you ever wrote anything down, write this down. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, there will immediately come a second voice. Immediately. And it's the old adage, you know, the devil's on one shoulder and the angel's on the other shoulder. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it comes in a slow, small, still voice. Sometimes you know it's him. Sometimes you say, Lord, really? Because most times when he says it, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, a lot of times it doesn't make sense. Say, Lord, I'm supposed to say that? What? Remember, listen to me. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, immediately that second voice comes. And that second voice, you can call it the carnal man. You can call it the what you call it, whatever you want to. But there will immediately come an opposing voice. It's going to say just the opposite. Hey, Rochelle, would you do me a favor? Would you go speak to that librarian? And you immediately say, me? Well, they're going to laugh at me? Huh? People aren't going to say, well, okay. Did you hear the voice or not? He didn't say, go and speak to them because they might get angry. That's just part of the gig. You just go speak to them. By the way, they might get angry because it says in the scripture, you go tell them, it's in Ezekiel. You go tell them whether they hear or whether they don't hear. You go tell them. Is that Ezekiel 9? Is that where that is? Is that Ezekiel 9? Pull that up for me. I think it's Ezekiel 9. Bear with me a second. So the second voice is constantly trying to see. Listen, folks, if it was easy, that's, no, I don't have 9. Maybe it's 3. Maybe it's Ezekiel. Hey, friends, if you're going to change the world, if you're going to change the world that you live in, it will be simple but not easy. It'll be something very simple that you do, some very simple act of obedience. You either do it or you don't do it. And I've shared this with you. I don't know. I'm not trying to make this all about me this morning. But I can tell you many times I've had the conversation with my wife. And my wife said, well, how'd they receive it? And I said, I don't know, but I said it. I said it. I'm looking for Ezekiel. I said it. And that's the way the Lord is going to move through some of you that you don't even understand. You're going to go and you're going to say it. You are going to go and you are going to speak. And it says in Ezekiel, whether they hear it or don't hear it, don't worry about it, because they are what? They're a rebellious generation. Where is that? Somebody knows that better than me. But while I'm waiting on it, Joe Allen, come on in, and then the Pastor Payne, and I'm going to find it. Whether they hear or whether they don't hear.
Coach, chapter I'm one, coach. Answer What's, that real quick.
Go ahead,
Joe. Prepared. Come out of her, my people. And where do you start at getting prepared? You watch this show in the morning. Get your fruits. Get prepared.
Amen, brother. Amen. 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 What do they hear? What do they don't hear? So it says, there it is. What is that? Where are we? Of Ezekiel? Hey, Silver. You got those tones ready? Oh, hang on, Pastor Payne. I'll be with you in a second. Hey, friends, listen. This Coach Dave is giving you the simplicity of the gospel right here. This is the simplicity of it. This is the very bottom base first step. This is it right here. And your spiritual growth and your spiritual impact will grow in direct relationship to how faithful you are to this. I'm just telling you. Can the Lord trust you? Go ahead, Silver.
Ezekiel 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me.
Wow, what happened, Joe, when he obeyed, when he stood up in front of everybody? What happened? Why, that Holy Spirit showed up, didn't he? Go ahead, Joe.
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet.
Wow.
That I heard him that spake unto me.
Hear that voice right there? Is that Holy Spirit voice?
And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel.
The church. Son of man, I send you to the church. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
To a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God.
Pretty simple so far, isn't it? Pretty simple. Here, go tell them this for me. Pretty simple. But what, Joe? Verse 5.
And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
What's a prophet? Prophet's not a future teller. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. They'll know. They'll know it. All right, go ahead.
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them.
No.
Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee.
Amen.
And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words.
Nope.
Nor be dismayed at their looks.
Why, Joe?
Though they be a rebellious house.
They're a rebellious house. They're accepting homosexuality. They're telling their people to take vaccines. So somebody say amen.
Amen.
These are rebellious people. I told my wife yesterday, we were driving in the car, I was barking. I said, You mean to tell me that on these big issues, Franklin Graham is missing in action on these big issues? And TD Jakes, John MacArthur, they're missing on these big issues. They can't see the devil in these big issues? Really? Hang on, Tom. I'll get you in a second. I promise. Keep going.
And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious.
Wow.
But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee.
Don't be like them, Joe. Don't you be like them.
Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee.
Mm.
And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein
lamentations and mourning. And whoa, not blessings and happy talk and your best life now. No, 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 no. Oh, no, that's not the message for today. Come on in, Tom, then Naomi.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Q. Listening to this, it something just kind of struck me. I'm getting ready to work out. I think our greatest adversary, listening to Psalm 71 there, and thank you, Michelle, is ourselves. And we can talk ourselves into something and we could talk ourselves out of something.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I know. And the obedience of that. And it's a simple thing. And you said, and again, rightly so, as I've always told you, I like the way you do it better than the way they don't. But I think that's the thing of not receiving it or not. I guess just listening this morning is, do we receive it? Because you can only give what you got.
Man.
And that's the thing of, I think a lot of times, I remember the story they said that two atheists talking in England about, I think it was Dwight L. Moody or somebody like that. And he was saying, the one was asking the other, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he said, I'm going to go down and listen to that evangelist. And he said, well, you don't believe all that stuff, do you? And he said, no, but he does. And I think there's a lot of times we talk about faith.
Amen.
We talk about spiritual things. We talk about, amen. We talk about those things, but is it authentic? And we got to see authentic. There's an authority there. They said, Jesus, he's different because he doesn't speak like the scribes. He speaks with authority. Why? Because he authored it. So he had the authority. And I think when us, when we walk it out, there's times where we may say something, Jesus loves you, or here's what's going on. We worry about if people are going to receive it, but here's the key. Do you really believe it? If we really believe it, we don't care.
That's right. Amen. You know? Where I am. I say it to my wife all the time. She'll say, "Well, you really think I'll do that?" I say, "I don't care." Yes, I want to do
it. Well, it still hurts. I mean, and I'll leave you with this one, and this is the security of it too. This is a true story from, I just talked to a cop. There was a state trooper pulled over this older lady. And when he pulled her over, you know, he asked her, you know, crazy, but he'll ask, you know, do you have any weapons? And she goes, "Why, yeah, I've got a 45 in a glove box. I've got my 22 here on my side, and I've got a Luger down here underneath my seat." And the cop looks at her and he said, "Ma'am, what are you afraid of?" And she looked at him and smiled and said, "Absolutely nothing." Now, are you armed with the amen? Are we armed with the gospel? And that's where we face that. We got to stop and think, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? And when we really understand Psalm 71 and with Psalms 27, I put in the cue there, the mentions was, "I would have fainted unless I had seen the Lord and known that the Lord in the land of the living."
Land of the living.
And you know that God is with you, amen? God bless you, Q. I got to go hit training.
Land of the living, not the land of the dead. Land of the living, not the, I got something I got to get. Come on in, Naomi, then John, then Roger, and then I'm going to something else. Go ahead, Naomi.
Well, I just want to say amen to Pastor Payne and for Silver. You know, when God called me to what he's got me doing, I was terrified. And, you know, I faced death in my journey. It was not easy. And I had a church leader tell me at one point that I had an attitude of my way or no way. And if I didn't get it corrected, I was going nowhere. And, you know, when God wants you to do it, God makes a way. And within 48 hours of that, of those words coming out of that leader's mouth, God prepared a way. He spread the platform for me, and I have no fear whatsoever of speaking in front of groups like I used to have. And it's, instead of it being in my head, it's in my heart, and I totally believe it, and God gives me the words to say, and as long as I'm obedient, then I don't have any fear whatsoever.
Amen. Fear not. John, come on in, then Roger.
Yeah, I just want to know, I mean, I know that the scripture says that you have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, and I think about that often. I talk to people, and I said, I hear from God. He speaks to me. And they look at me like I have a third eye in the middle of my forehead. I said, if you don't have a close relationship, it's a relationship with God the Father, then you don't understand what I'm saying. And also that you are responsible for your own salvation.
Well, they're a rebellious house, John. They're rebellious people. No wonder the Lord doesn't speak to them. They're rebellious.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Huh? That's true.
Did you guys ever say to your own, fathers out there? Did you ever say to your own kids, "Well, I'm not telling you anymore. I've told you enough as I can tell you. You're going to do what you want to do." You think the Lord ever reaches that point? Hey, how many times I got to tell you? You're a rebel. You're going to do what you're going to do. That's where a lot of us are. Listen, Roger, did you want to get in or not?
No, Dave, I'm just enjoying listening.
Okay. So listen, I'm shifting gears. You guys know I do this, but this has been on me for about 5 days to get it to you, and I just haven't. June 13th is when this was. So that's been 9 days. And I haven't been able to. I'm going to squeeze it in right now because, folks, you're surrounded by people who don't know what's going on. Hey, Spencer, pull up. I'm sorry. What was it? I told you to get it up there. And I tell you what it was to get up there. Get up there. It says, no. Cheat sheet to the left. Cheat sheet. Folks, they're killing us with words. They're killing us with words. Okay. This was on the Gateway Pundit about 9 days ago. And I just want to take you down through here. And I want you to give you some words that they're using that we don't understand yet. Okay. You can make a note if you want to. Spencer will put this in the chat so you can have it. But we have, hey, Christians, we got to know these words.
Words have changed words have changed the world. And we didn't realize what the words meant. We didn't realize it. So we need to. So this is a cheat sheet, okay? When you hear these guys in Washington, D.C. or in schools use these terms, you better know what they mean, okay? When they say cultural competence, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Cultural competence. What they mean is cultural stereotyping, which is neo-racism, right? Critical race theory, an ineffective method with no basis in scientific evidence. That's cultural competence. In other words, you understand the language they're using. Next one, when you hear them say environmental justice, what they mean is environmental issues are race issues, which is using environmental protection for unrelated political purpose and in an effective way to protect the environment. It's race, environmental justice, race. Decolonization. You hear that one? Decolonization. What that means is removing European influence. How often can I tell you that the war's on the white man? It makes us nervous because they so programmed us in racism, right? White man bad, black man underclass, black man taken advantage of, right? So decolonization means nothing more than removing European influence. By the way, what is European influence? Oh, that'd be Christianity. That'd be Christianity. So when they're talking about decolonization, they're talking about getting the gospel the hell out of here. When they say systemic racism, when you hear that term, systemic racism, what they mean is differences are always due to systems, never to people, right? It's the system that made poor blacks underclass. It's the system that made rich people rich. It's the system that made poor people poor. So that's what systemic racism means, okay? Critical race theory. When you hear them say critical race theory, give me a thumbs up. You say, Coach, this is good. I didn't know any of this. Somebody give me a thumbs up. We need to know this. We need to know this. Critical race theory means race-centered thinking. Another, every issue you deal with, you have to look at it from a black perspective, a yellow perspective, a white perspective, a Christian perspective, a Jewish perspective. That's what critical race theory is. And it's a view that racism is baked into everything we do. Next one, equity. When they say equity, see, we think it means equal, don't they? See, that's not what equity means. Equity means equality of outcomes, not equality of opportunity. Everybody equal at the end. Equity, 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 equity. Why does Jeff have more than me? Why does Myra have more than Naomi? Why is that? Equity, equity, equity. Everybody has to have the same thing. It's communism. Social justice. What does that mean? Group entitlement. You deserve it because you're black. You deserve it because you're a woman. You deserve it because you're Canadian. You deserve it because you're a used car lot dealer. Group entitlements, which is a denial of social and cultural differences. You guys would agree with me, would you not? This is a different culture between sitting here at Buckeye Lake, Ohio, and being in inner city Harlem. You would agree, aren't you, that there are different, huh? Those aren't the same, right? Come on. Now, how do we get equity, social justice? How do I make Harlem look like Buckeye Lake? Or how do I make Buckeye Lake look like Harlem? See, that's what they're trying to do with social justice. Diversity. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful word, diversity. What does it mean? Why, it's an identity-based approach to society, which is a violation of individual identity, enforced political conformity, political quotas, and an attack on merit and soft bigotry. What do you mean soft bigotry? Well, diversity means this. A black guy can't do it on his own. He needs whitey to give it to him. That's what diversity means. That's what it is. Those poor black people are black because of you, whitey, because of you. And we're going to make things equal. We're going to take Mr. Black Man and we're going to make him professor, even though he's not as qualified. Because why? We have to be diverse. right? Come on, folks. White privilege, white supremacy. What they mean, there it is, European, Christian, moral culpability. Anytime you hear them say white privilege, supremacy, or diversity, oh, is right-wing what? Wetting their pants right now. When you hear them say that, you better know this. It is anti-white Christianity. It's what it is. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to say it.
Boom.
And when they say BIPOC folks, what they mean is non-European. There we go again. There we go again. You know what Ronald Reagan said? Who was that? The caucus? Well, there you go again. Race, race, race. When they say racial justice, what they really mean, my dear friends, is racial favoritism. Meaning, giving this Ethiopian the job because you, whitey, have been privileged. So we're going to balance the scales and we're going to discriminate against you, whitey, and we're going to give it to this poor Ethiopian. Folks, that's racial justice. It's un-American. And then, ready? Inclusion. Inclusion. Oh, I love that one. What inclusion really means is restricted speech. Yeah, some things you're allowed to say and some things you're not allowed to say. And then at the bottom of here, they've got a whole chart. Put it in this chat for us, Spencer, on how to respond to their social justice rhetoric. And if we don't learn this, they're going to continue to beat the tar out of us with these weapons.
Coach, can I say something real quick?
Please do, Joe.
What Coach just read is what all politicians have been saying, and overseas as well. If you haven't picked up on it, they say, build back better. They ain't got time to say all this, what Coach just said. But what Coach just read, these politicians say, build back better. This is what's going on.
And Joseph, you know what's just as sad? Are y'all looking at me? The guy standing in your pulpit has bought into this because he doesn't know the language. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, folks. And this mainstream social justice rhetoric has, in fact, begun to infiltrate into our churches and into the gospel. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yep, Coach, yep. I knew it, but I didn't know it, Coach. I knew it, but I didn't know it, right? And so now you walk into the church, and what is the church? What's the most Christian thing the church can do? Well, what you just read. That's the new Christianity. Spencer, go to back to the top of that. Go back to the top and start. Yeah, here's the new Christianity. Here's the new Ten Commandments for you out there, boys and girls. You ready? Thou shalt be culturally competent. You shall enforce environmental justice. Thou shalt make sure that we do away with decolonization. Thou shalt not practice systemic racism. And you shall not use critical race theory, and there shall be equity in everything we do, and we will, under God, have social justice, and they will make sure that everyone is inculcated and indoctrinated in diversity, and we will do away with white privilege and supremacy, and I don't even know why BIPOC folks are, and we will have folks. This is the new gospel in the church that many of you are going to. Somebody say amen, because I just hit that baby right over, dropped that atom bomb right on top of it. And see what it is? This is the social gospel, which has replaced the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is what's going on. The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. And what are they doing? They're taking over our pulpits. They're taking over our churches. They're taking over our language. Some of you get ready. because you're going to play a vital part and a vital role. You are going to open your mouth and you are going to go speak. And whether they will hear you or whether they won't, they are a rebellious house. And we are called to take this truth to those who don't want to hear it. God bless you, man. See you tomorrow.